Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disney has reached an agreement with the Actors Equity Union. There are more layoffs in Orlando because of COVID. Disney extends their flexible cancellation policies, and a lawsuit has been filed over the refurbishment of Saratoga Springs. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Dreams agents are committed to giving you honest and unbiased advice and helping you plan a magical vacation your family will remember for years. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And by Magic Candle Company. Magic Candle is the leader in theme park inspired candles, wax melts, fragrance oils, and much more. Bring a little bit of the magic into your home with Magic Candles. Use code DISNEYINFO at checkout and receive 15% off your order every time. That's MagicCandleCompany.com. Well, welcome everyone to episode number 1092 of the Diz Unplugged for the week of August 18th, 2020. Coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined via Skype by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Jackie Gailey.
Hi, guys.
Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
And are we checking on Kevin's audio? Because he's not coming through real good for me. So
he was coming through until we just started right now.
Okay.
Of course.
Of course. Right. You know. But, well, welcome, folks. Welcome to the show. Before we get started, I want to thank everybody for reaching out to me to make sure I was okay. I have been fine. I just needed a break, okay, because it has been pedal to the metal for the last 8 months. And I just, I'll be honest, didn't feel like doing shows. I just wanted to take a break. It wasn't that I wasn't working. It's just I needed a break. So, but I'm fine. I'm fine. Everybody here is fine. Thank God. Knock wood. But I do appreciate the messages and notes checking in. And I assume all you guys are doing good. Haven't seen your faces in a while.
I know, really.
So
doing good.
All right. So first story I want to talk about today is more important than it sounds. To me, anyway, Disney has reached an agreement with the Actors Equity Union. Now, if you're not familiar with Actors Equity, all of the face characters are Actors Equity. Okay, they're all in that union. So it's the same union that covers, you know, movie stars and Broadway and, you know, well, actually, a Screen Actors Guild is for movies, but like anybody who does live performances professionally, Broadway, things like that, all under Actors Equity. And the issue that had been at hand, Actors Equity wanted more concessions from Disney in terms of providing a space on site for COVID-19 testing. And apparently, Disney has now agreed to that. Well, Disney's not confirming any agreement. And they say that the new testing site that they are creating is not connected to their discussions with Actors Equity, but really Actors Equity doesn't care. That's what they wanted. So it looks like we may very well be getting face characters back. That's why we haven't had them really in the parks. I don't believe, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, characters that are not quote-unquote face characters are not covered by Actors Equity. Am I right?
don't know.
It's like Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is not Actors Equity, I don't think.
Well,
I think but it's Cinderella just the ones is. That are on stage, not the walk-around ones.
Yeah, so I always thought if you weren't like a face character and speaking, that was the difference between being an Actors Equity and not.
And also not to ruin the magic, but some cast members have dual responsibilities or multiple responsibilities. So that could play into this as well.
Yeah. I wanted to add something about the Denny was telling me that she actually drove by the COVID testing site that's on Disney property. And she said that there are three huge message boards on Route I-92 or 192 that alert the entire community of the new drive-through testing location. It's free for everyone, not just
Disney, right?
Disney employees. So I think that's why Disney sort of barked back about what was said with the Actors Equity Union, because they wanted to make sure that people knew that it wasn't about that necessarily, but they're open every day from 7 to 4 for ages 2 and up. And the testing site is located at the Disney Main Gate complex on Main Stage Lane. So, and the results are delivered within 3 to 5 business days via email. So it's
That's been the big issue, right, is the delay in results. So you go and you get tested, but you don't know for 5 days if you're positive. And it's something I wanted to bring up as part of this discussion, because I'm reading in the news that a number of companies have developed an almost instantaneous saliva test for COVID-19. That is that they're going through that process of getting fast tracked for approval by the FDA. Now, if they were able to do something non-invasive that was reliable, okay, that's going to be important, and you had the results in 15 minutes, I think that would be a game changer.
Yeah.
In terms of things getting back to normal a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Mean, look, if Disney Cruise Line had a way to reasonably, reliably verify that every single person, okay, Jackie.
It's okay.
Jackie just fell to her death.
It's it. It's
Jackie's
fixing.
Got Blair Witch on us.
I'm fixing it.
There's a whole Blair Witch thing going on there.
I know.
If Disney Cruise Line, for example, had a way to reasonably and reliably test every single person stepping foot on that ship, that's going to, in conjunction with increased social distancing and cleaning procedures, I think that would make things a lot easier. Am I missing something, or just
Isn't
wishful
that
thinking?
What the NBA players are getting?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. The NBA players are getting a rapid test. I don't think it's the saliva test, but I know that they're getting a rapid test.
It's the same one, that the president gets.
This is going to be a game changer for everything, right? Because if you can get that instantaneous test before you do anything, that's going to allow more venues to open and places to open up. What concerns me, though, is what is going to happen for the people who may test positive. You know, are people, A, going to be respectful and say, oh, yes, I'm positive, so no, I'm not going to go into the Magic Kingdom today? Are they going to cause a problem? Is it going to, you know, then affect other aspects of their vacation? I worry that Disney dealing with medical creates a whole other problem.
Or the people because we're stepping on their rights.
Well, that's going to be again, private property. We come back to private property. They're allowed to do whatever they want. But, you know, they just opened a testing center. We just talked about them opening a testing center. Why would this be any different? Saying if you want access to our parks, if you want access to our resorts, you know.
I personally don't see any difference. I think it's great. I just think that there's going to be a part of the community that will say, before you're allowed to enter a theme park, you have to take a test. They don't want to do it.
And they have,
but again, it's Disney's right.
Then they don't go.
Them entry.
It's the same thing
they
with
haven't
the, right?
Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
they haven't attached this testing site to access to the parks, have they?
No.
No. I'm sure it has to do, though, with cast members. I'm sure it must be a clearing for, you know, if cast members are positive, then they can't work.
But even though it's open to guests, I mean, they're not attaching that to, if you test positive, you can't come in.
Right. No, they're not. I'm just saying that the availability of rapid tests, you know, because everybody wants things to amp up, right? We want some sort of normalcy back in our lives. We're not going to have what we had in January. It's just, I think we all just need to wrap our heads around that. Not going to happen. So what can be done? What ways are there to do this as safely as possible, especially in a state as Florida, seeing the kind of numbers we have been seeing? Now, I will say, anecdotally, it seems like the number of new cases every day are beginning to fall, which is a great sign. But we are so far from where we were in April. I mean, the numbers are insane.
What is it? We've had 1,000 deaths every day for the last 3 weeks.
Over, yeah.
Yeah.
1,000 deaths a day.
Well, I'm excited about rapid tests. I apologize, Pete. I'm excited about rapid tests for things like flying. To me, that seems like a really good use of that. If somehow before you go to an airport, I'm sorry, what?
Flying and cruise line.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big deal. Like, if you can guarantee that everybody in a certain area is COVID free, that's a huge deal. And then also as it relates to the performers that we were talking about, I mean, you can social distance and limit capacity to the amount of people that go into a theater, but those performers, not so much. If you think of like a spectacle as much as a Festival of the Lion King, like you really need to be able to ensure everybody that is performing in that show is COVID free, because it would just take one person to test positive to get a lot of people sick in that situation. So I'm glad that they're
awkward. There's nothing more awkward than that Beauty and the Beast dance 6 feet apart.
Yeah, right, with the masks on and everything. So,
Well, those thunder monkeys are everywhere.
That's the thing about the 3 to 5 days. While that's so much faster than it used to be, it's still a long time, because think about how many people that cast member. I mean, even I think about the accuracy of everything, because 2 weeks ago I had an antibody test done, because if you guys remember, I was in the hospital. They kept me for 4 nights over New Year's. And with all of the symptoms that they're talking about now that people had, with not being able to taste, not being able to smell, like I could go down the whole line and I had every symptom there is. And my antibody test came back negative. And I am kind of mad about it. If I'm being completely honest, I'm kind of mad.
Because how about your antibody test for hypochondria?
Right. I know. Right. But like, I couldn't move. I was, everything everyone describes was exactly where I was. And my doctor thinks that the antibodies went away, you know, cause now they're discovering, well, maybe they didn't last that long, you know, and I'm disappointed because I wanted to try to help out with donating blood and whatever, but if they develop this saliva rapid test, how accurate is it going to be right from the get-go is my concern and reason for bringing that up. Because I think, wow, if it's accurate, that'd be fabulous. But
how many of you cough or sneeze and immediately think, oh, no, I have it?
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I think we all do. Yep. I think we all do. I just think that, you know, rapid testing, if it were available, like widely available, would go a long way in getting at least some things back to normal. But I'm really hoping that something breaks, and it's not, you know, the spine of our economic world, because that has to get back to normal. The country has to function economically, and we have to do it safely. And it's really hard to do both of those things right now. And I just think a rapid test would matter, would help. Yeah. The other story I wanted to talk about, I'm not sure if we've talked about it on this show. I'm sure that Craig has talked about it on the Universal show, are some more layoffs that were announced this week as a direct result of COVID. Now, Universal's laid off a number of their employees over the last month. Now, Mears Transportation Group is laying off an additional 104 employees. This comes after they laid off 72 back in June. That's significant because Mears is the company that manages Magical Express. And this is going to obviously impact that. It's another example of a domino because it's now the secondary markets in Orlando that are starting to shut down because of this. So it kind of ties back into what I was just saying about the importance of finding a safe and effective way to reboot some aspects of our economy, because this is the sort of stuff that we're going to see more of the longer this goes on. I know I speak for John when I tell you we're working our butts off right now to make sure we don't have to. Very, very, very grateful that we haven't had to. And I'm just going to say this. I was back and forth. Some of you are bitching that the shows are getting a little sales pitchy. I don't know what rock you live under, but I have a travel business and it's COVID-19. So we're doing everything we can to keep our people employed. We're trying everything we can try to keep our people employed. And I will guarantee you, every single person watching or listening to me right now wishes or is grateful that they had a boss that thought like that. So when you start your bitching, either get with what's going on or watch another show. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. But I read stuff like this. These are, you know, we talk about these numbers. These are real people, right? These are people with jobs and families and and homes and lives. And expensive. Some of these jobs are not coming back.
That's sad. Some of these
companies that are closing are not coming back.
This Mears thing is a direct result of Disney's attendance numbers not being where they thought they were going to be. Yeah. Disney was under the impression that when they opened, that they were going to have trouble and turn people away and not give them park passes, and that this was going to be resorts were going to fill up and they were going to have a problem because of reducing capacity under restrictions. This is not the case. They are not having the sales they thought they were going to have.
Well, it also takes into effect the fly-in market.
Right.
I think more people at this point are driving.
Okay, well, let's go back to before they reopened the parks, and something I said, just because you reopen it doesn't mean people are going to come. Right. You know, that mindset comes from years and years and years and years of growth and crowds and all that other stuff, that if we open, it's just going to magically appear. Well, there's a little something in the way right now, right?
Yeah.
A little something in the way. And didn't I read that they're doing a ridiculous Florida resident pass right now? A Florida resident ticket?
They've got a special four-day ticket that it goes, if you buy up to the 4 days, it goes down to like $49 a day.
Okay, so let's stop for a second. Let's stop for a second. Because I always say that you pay attention to various things that may seem unrelated, and they all start pointing in one direction. So from what I've been told, they've got the parks at 30% capacity and they're not hitting it. Okay.
Right.
We know that, and one of the stories we're going to talk about in a moment, they just announced that for the fall, they're cutting back on the hours. They're offering Florida residents $49 a day to go into the park. $49 a day.
Yeah. Plus, they just upped the Epcot After Four. Is still called Epcot After Four, but now it's Epcot After Two.
No, it should be Epcot whenever the hell you want.
Yeah, right. Just an Epcot annual pass.
It should, yeah.
You know, just make it an Epcot annual pass at this point.
Right.
When you're closing at 6 o'clock, it, you know, that's not the deal you think it is.
Mm-mm.
You know, and longer to park.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, they recently started allowing people to apply for refunds for their annual pass. I did not take it. I want my annual pass. I'm not there yet. I understand why people are canceling, and a lot of people, I think we did a poll.
Yeah, I put a poll up, yeah.
Somebody, if you can go ahead and, yep, and get the results of that and let us know what it was. But I remember watching that poll the first few days it was up going, oh my God, asking, are you going to get a refund on your annual pass? And again, yeah, you know, this is not a scientific survey. It's anecdotal at best, but this is, you are Disney's highest affinity group. If you're sitting here watching a podcast about Disney World, you're in the club.
Right now the annual pass is kind of, if you're trying to book within the next 3 weeks, it's kind of is an Epcot annual pass, to be frank. So if you're trying to book anything this week, it's pretty much all gone. But in the following 2 weeks, it's just Epcot every single day. But then as you start to get a month in advance, then all the parks start to open back up for annual pass holders. But if you have a resort stay or you buy a regular park ticket, the availability is basically completely wide open. Even if like you had a resort stay and you wanted to just choose any park to go to today, you could get in. So,
yeah, I mean, here's the deal. Florida kids are going back to school for the most part. So Florida families aren't going to be going to a theme park. So they're trying to do their best to bring Florida people back into the park. That's that $49 ticket. I've always said they're focusing on the wrong market. They've got to expand their market out to the drive market of other states.
We are carving through our list of the...
Oops, sorry.
What is happening?
Now, I just got an alert from the Weather Channel about a tropical system forming, and I wanted to look at it.
There's one forming right outside our front window, by the way.
Exactly. I'm telling you, what did we have this year? We had the earliest tornado, the earliest hurricane ever, the earliest named hurricane. They're having fire tornadoes,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
We had a hurricane that I had a really serious hard time pronouncing. I tried very, very hard. I wrote it out phonetically. I had a hard time saying it.
So, you know, Disney's hurting. I think they're hurting all the way around. And I think they're kind of doing this thing where they thought, to sort of reinforce what Pete said, they thought they weren't going to have a problem with the minimum restrictions in terms of, they thought they were always going to hit them and max them out. And now they're realizing that they're not. So they're running into those problems now. And fiscally, this is going to be a problem for them. Because if they're not going to make the money to keep the parks open, you know, how much are they going to be willing to lose every day?
Well, and I was so surprised at the results of this poll when I saw it. I mean, it's crazy. So we had almost 1,600 people vote in the poll. And my question on it was, did you cancel your annual pass? 672 people said yes. 43.1% of
That's
people
insane.
Said yes. Wow. I mean, really. So, and 56.9% said no. I can't believe it. I thought there were going to be so many more no's.
And again, anecdotal, right? But this is in the highest affinity group. What do you think those numbers look like with people who are not as emotionally attached to Disney as we are, but have an annual pass because they live here and they, you know, they like to go in Epcot, they like to do this. So what kind of numbers, I really wonder what kind of numbers they're looking at.
Yeah.
In terms,
it can't be good.
It can't be good.
40% at resorts for annual pass holders now.
Yeah, we're basically discount. Like,
I mean,
with our group, it's discounts. Basically, we're basically saying, like, to acquire, do you like to sing? But, you know, if you ask a bunch of other people who maybe really don't care that much about singing, they might be like, you know, no, I don't, I'm not going to sing.
But okay, yeah, that was his way of saying preaching to the choir.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think the other thing would be interesting too, to find out of those people who said they've canceled, where do they live? You know, are they more people who live further away and say, you know what, I'm just never going to get my money's worth this year? Or are
we're not. And we live 17 miles away.
But you know what, though? We're annual pass suckers. We are. We buy an annual pass every year. No, it's true. And maybe there's been years where we've gone once or twice, but we still like to have that annual pass because there's always that hope that maybe we'll get to go to a park one day. Aww. We're the abnormality to that. We're not.
So here's a question. Here's a question for the group. Right now, priority is given to people with resort stays. How long do you think before that switches, where they start giving priority to people with annual passes, or they do special events or things for people with annual passes? Because, you know, they've gotten better with annual pass discounts and perks over the last 10 years. But let's be honest. We were always, they're always going to come. They're always going to come.
We're a gimme. No,
that ass clown in charge of Disney now, Lex Luthor, whatever the hell his name is, actually just completely dismissed annual pass holders a few weeks ago with one of the comments he made, because he was comparing annual pass holders, the money an annual pass holder spends on a visit, to the money spent by somebody coming here on vacation. Not realizing that an annual pass, you know, that person who comes here on vacations here for a week, the annual pass holder is in the parks buying food, merchandise, and all sorts of other stuff 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 times a year.
I say this all the time. I say this whenever Kevin and I are in a park, there's always something purchased and usually multiple things purchased. And you talk about people who don't need anything, Disney. And yet we're still, again, I go back to that word, we're suckers. You walk in the park and you have to have this because it's cute or something. It's sort of an impulse buy. I agree with you. I think that they are short-sighting annual pass holders. But to answer your question, I think the answer is never, Pete. I think they're always going to put resort guests ahead of every other visitor because they want that resort stay and they want you buying.
Yeah, but what do they
buy food?
But what do they do? What do they do when they're not getting enough resort guests? You know, what are they going to do? At some point, like, you know, we just talked about 40% off. Jackie, were you saying 40% off resort stays?
Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time we saw 40% off for annual pass holders?
Crazy. Okay. I can't even remember.
And again, to clarify, up to 40%, depending on where you stay and when you stay. So
right.
You know,
I don't want someone to say, oh, look, I booked Pop Century. Why don't I get 40% off?
Right.
But
sorry.
Well, you know what? You know what the answer to that person is? Wait a minute. Okay. Because, you know, I said it a month or so ago. Watch the discounts that start coming out when these parks don't fill and they don't start making the numbers that they need to make. And they can't hit 30%.
Yesterday, I was seeing all over social that they opened more park pass reservations for annual pass holders. A lot of them at every park but Disney's Hollywood Studios. So, you know, so there was a lot of availability where there was nothing before. And, you know,
this was brought to my attention when I was a pin trader. And, you know, people would sign up for pin events and they would go trade and they would buy tons of pins, and we're always treated like second-class citizens. And we talked to someone one day who explained to us that we were a drop in the bucket. We were not their market. The market was the person who walks in and buys a couple of pins and leaves and takes them home. The diehard collector was not really important.
Well, you know, there was a time, prior 2008, where travel agencies were treated that way. And then the crash happened. And they saw three ghosts in the middle of the night and woke up the next morning and was happy they didn't miss Christmas. And ever since then, they've been wonderful to work with. I got to be honest. They've been wonderful to work with. They weren't prior to that. They were arrogant, and they got their ass kicked by the recession. And they learned something from it. And you know what? That has carried through. I think this is the reckoning with Disney and the fans and the annual pass holders and the high affinity groups. We have to shore them up, because we don't know when the next thing is going to hit. This is a huge opportunity for them to shore up their base. Let's see what they do with it. Let's see what they do with it. All right. Next story. Guess it kind of ties in here, is that they've now extended the cancellation policy through the end of the year. John, you deal with this a lot more than I do. Talk about the cancellation policy and what this means.
Basically, Walt Disney World Vacations can cancel up until the day before arrival through December 31st now.
And this is on package.
Package and room.
Right. But well, with room, it was always like anyway. It was only like a 5 or 7 day window. But packages, you had to pay in full, you know, what was it, for 45 or 60 days before?
So what they've done is, in previously they've extended this a couple times. And I'm going to be honest with you. The word that we continually heard from Disney was this was always going to be through the end of the year. So the fact that they've announced that now through December 31st, if you have a Walt Disney World package or room reservation booked, you can cancel for any reason up until the day prior for a full refund. So we're not surprised by it. We've been hearing about this for months now that they were going to do it, but I guess it's a big deal if they announced it. It's kind of this idea that's going through the industry, which is book with confidence. You're seeing this a lot with cruise lines. You're seeing a lot with tour companies. What they're saying is, listen, we want you to book with confidence that if for any reason you don't want to come or you can't come or we cancel, that you're not going to be out of pocket or placed in an unusual situation. The question that has come up, though, is what will Disney do in the future? Will this become more of a permanent policy? Will they start to relax that cancellation policy going forward? That's the big question here, is what are we going to see going forward into 2021, especially if there's no relief in COVID, there's no vaccine, there's no rapid test? Do they continue to do this? You know, that's a hard thing for them, because you know, you get geared up and you have that money on the books and then it's gone.
I would seriously doubt that they would continue that policy once they're in a better position. I think this is just what gets you through the night. And as soon as they don't need it, they're going to start going back. And you know what? Honestly, I'll be really happy when they do. I'll be really happy when they go back to some of the previous policies, not because I thought the policies were good, but because it will be a really good indication that things are going back to something that looks like normal.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I'm living in dream world that anything's ever going to go back to normal. I don't know. Did any of us really think we would be sitting here still having this discussion about COVID in August?
I look back to previous conversations we had on the Dream Show and other stuff, and I was wrongly predicting cruising in September. You know, I was wrong.
We all were
predicting flying and going on trips. You know, I never thought it would go on this long, this bad. So,
well, listen, no, to me. Let's also remember. Certainly, the illness and the death is the worst part of this.
Absolutely.
But what has really upended everyone's lives is the forced change. Right? Yeah, I say it all the time. Nobody changes when they're comfortable. You don't change until you have a gun held to your head. Nobody wakes up one morning and say, you know what? Everything's going really well. I think I'm going to change it all. Right? So I think that's what we're going through. And I don't know what it looks like. Look at any major change that's ever happened in your life. I will guarantee you, in almost all the cases, that change came about as a result of something awful happening. A death or an illness or you know, a job loss or something. And, you know, everything changed and it was awful and it was scary. And then you adapted. But I'm sure many of you are like I am. I don't let go of anything that doesn't have claw marks all over it. So I fight because I want things to be the way they were. And it can't be. It can't
sometimes
be.
Sometimes though, Pete, change comes from something very good happening suddenly. You know, I think that happens too. So it's a major shift in your life away from the comfortable, either really good or really bad. You know?
Well, I think it does. I think the lessons, the things that require us to adapt usually come at the barrel of a gun. At least that's been my experience. I'm not going to speak for everybody. That's been my experience. I don't change unless I'm forced to. And, you know, even, you know, with how we do business and how I do a lot of things right now, I'm forced to think differently because the same things don't work anymore.
Yeah. I only change unless it's Tuesday. That's usually all week in the same clothes.
I hope you people realize I showered for you today. Okay.
Us too.
I showered for you today because I was looking. When I shaved this morning, I was looking homeless. I looked in the mirror like, oh my God, really?
Really? Confession.
I didn't grace you guys with my work dress today.
I'm wearing sweatpants underneath.
There you go.
I am too. So you see, that's,
it was so funny. I was getting ready and I was coming in the studio and realized I hadn't put my shoes on. And I'm like, well, what difference does it make? I'm like, I can't do a show if I'm not wearing sneakers. I can't sit here in my socks or my bare feet and do a show. I've got to have shoes.
I'm going to have to learn how to walk in shoes again.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
All right. Before we go on, let's just do a little bit of housekeeping. There's another thing I want to talk about. Do a little bit of housekeeping. Want to remind everybody about our other YouTube channel, the Diz YouTube channel, youtube.com/WDW info. We are very close to hitting 100,000 subscribers on that channel, so it would really mean a lot to us if you go out, give us a subscribe, and hit that notification bell on that channel so you get notified when we add new stuff. I know that was something I was supposed to mention. Was there something else I was supposed to talk about? That's what Corey asked for. Want to give a shout out to Magic Candle, of course.
Yes. Talk
about somebody who's adapting. My God, that man, what a great, Keith is his name, owner of Magic Candle Company. Incredible entrepreneur. Incredible the way he's responded to this.
I love what he's got going on too. I mean, I have to just second that because the way they make their scents, I can't go a day now without changing up which candle I'm burning in my office. So I just, it brings me these familiar sensations of what I love. And it's really wonderful. It's wonderful when we're not stuck in our houses in the middle of a pandemic, but when we are, It is so great to just be able to have that smell of the contemporary wafting through my house.
Well, I got to tell you, the scented hand sanitizers, the Disney theme park and resort inspired scented hand sanitizers make all the difference in the world. MagicCandleCompany.com, code Disney Info, saves you 15% and helps us out as well. What about you, John? You got anything for housekeeping?
Now, Kevin mentioned last week we've still got a couple spaces on our Egypt trip next April. If you're looking to travel with Kevin, myself, and Pete, we're going to Egypt. We are going to Egypt. It's going to happen April of 2021. We've got a couple spots left in our group for that trip. Write to Kevin at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Very close to filling up that trip. So excited about that. Pete, your October Backstage Magic got canceled.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, well, if it hadn't been canceled, I probably wasn't going to go anyway because...
That's kind of the approach we took with Adventures by Disney was, listen, you guys can run that trip, but no one's going.
Yeah, so, really.
There were many people on the trip who approached me and said, listen, you can go. I'm not going with you. And what happens is once you take enough people out of the trip, it sort of falls apart. So they saw that coming. But now they've canceled everything for October. All of October up through the 31st is canceled. ABD's policy is different than the Disney, Walt Disney World. Right now, if you have a trip booked in November, you can, even if you're because you're after final payment, you can move your dates without penalty. That's only through the end of November. The regular ABD policies take place after that, and there would be penalties involved for moving after final payment. But that's sort of a rolling thing. We're figuring out that ABD is looking at and canceling trips about 6 weeks before the start of the month. We just canceled October, the middle of August, so... We will probably won't see another cancellation until the middle of September.
All right. Anything else for housekeeping, anybody?
Hey, Pete, I have a question. Do you want to mention something that's going on in September, or are you still holding on to that?
Oh, my God.
Okay. I didn't know that was a secret.
Thank you. Oh, my. How did I forget to put that in? Okay. So Labor Day. We are doing a marathon show to raise money for Give Kids the World. It'll be slightly different than the ones we've done in the past. They will be live. They will all be done remotely. But we are going to do a 12-hour marathon show. Labor Day, September 5th. Am I right on the date there?
I think it's like the 7th this year.
Why is no one ready?
Seventh. Seventh. So yes, on the 7th. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to do our Tuesday show, September 1st, our normal Tuesday show, but then we're going to add on to it, where we're going to launch the auction for it. Now, Give Kids the World has been stockpiling some of the coolest stuff you can imagine for an auction. I think he told me he had more than 1,500 items, and I believe they're taking about 500 or 600 of them and putting them up for auction. And Give Kids the World is handling everything with the auction. They're doing the pictures. They've got the items. They're doing the fulfillment. Right, which make Teresa. All we have to do is show up and do our shows. So that is going to be so Tuesday the 1st, we're going to launch the auction, and the auction will close with our marathon show on the 7th, at the end of the marathon show, 10 p.m. Eastern time on September 7th. So we're going to spend the marathon show. Yes, Give Kids the World has shut down operations. That is obviously temporary until things go back to normal. They still need to raise money. And we're going to show them our love and support and do something a little different for Labor Day. This does mean that we will not be doing a marathon show later on in the year, because trying to pull off two auctions in the span of 3 months is a little bit much. Are we able to announce the other thing? Or are we waiting? We're waiting until September 1st. We're waiting.
What I would like to say is this.
You want to tune in September 1st.
We can't say anything at this point, but there's going to be a big announcement.
Huge.
During the marathon show. A huge announcement you're going to want to pay attention to.
I think he told me I could announce it with the when we open the auction.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I think that's what he told me, but I don't know. But
that means we got a major announcement.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah. Big, huge announcement.
So
can I also say too, one more thing, Pete? You mentioned Give Kids the World is closed and they're not doing wishes or having kids in. They are actually still doing some wish fulfillments for kids that are not directly related to going to a theme park or staying with them. Stephen Amos was telling me about some of the stuff they're doing. So they still need donations. They still need the money. They're still operating.
They're still doing good work.
Doing awesome work. So please, please, please help us raise as much money as we can for Give Kids the World.
Yeah, no, it was weird. Mom and I had gone over there last month, I think it was, and met with Pam and walked around. And Pam is living there. Pam Landworth is living there. Mm-hmm. Because she is just that. She's just that awesome. All right. You know what, Jackie? We'll do your thing next week.
Okay.
Just going to... put your tassels away, honey. Want to talk about this lawsuit. Did you read this? This lawsuit that DVC got hit with over the Saratoga Springs refurbishment. Now, we heard something about it, that there were mechanics liens being filed against Disney because people weren't being paid for work done on the rehab of Saratoga Springs. Now, I realize this is a DVC thing, but I just thought it was important to talk about. Disney hired a contractor to complete work on Saratoga Springs. This company was called Validus, and they began work last April. But shortly after the construction, the rehab started, the company found a series of very serious, in their words, fire code defects and violations that significantly changed the scope of the project, its timeline, and its overall cost. The owner of the contracting company, Nicole Wickens, claimed that tensions arose due to Disney's attempt to hide and remain silent regarding these violations rather than taking the necessary steps to correct them. Now, I want to make sure everybody's clear that these renovations that are done on DVC properties are not paid for by Disney. It is paid for through the dues that members pay to own at that resort. So any of the dues paid by owners at Saratoga Springs are then used to rehab the property based on a certain schedule. Now, Saratoga Springs, for anybody who stayed in it prior to last year, you know it was long overdue for a rehab. Those rooms were looking pretty rough. So the contractor says that they started doing work and realized there were serious violations of the fire code and that additional work needed to be done. Disney, according to this contractor, was pressuring them not to do it. Then there's things thrown in here about Disney executives making misogynistic comments and belittling them throughout the construction project. And then tensions came to a head April 2020 when Disney decided to terminate its contract with Validus, claiming that the contractor had not promptly paid subcontractors working on the project. The company saying that Disney didn't pay them, so they couldn't pay their subcontractors. There are these mechanics liens now, and now everything has broken out into the open at because of this lawsuit. Now, the woman who's in charge of Disney Vacation Club, named Terry Schultz, she's a very nice lady, but I think she's in way, way, way over her head. I think she's in way over her head. And, you know, a lot of decisions have been made on her watch that have not gone over well with members. And I don't want to turn this into a DVC show, but a lot of decisions were made on her tenure that have not gone over well with members. And DVC's response to COVID has been abysmal. And now this. But did you read anything about this, John? Had you heard about this?
I don't remember what you're saying. I don't know what I read, but I must have missed it. I thought this was about past payments.
Well, this is, they're being sued now. Disney's being sued. DVC's being sued because they didn't pay the contractor. The contractor didn't pay the subcontractor. And so they literally have mechanics liens being held. And maybe it's not as important a story to anybody else as it is to me.
No,
but I look at this and I'm like, how is this happening?
Rehabs. But one of the things that I think is important to this whole story is that Disney, when COVID-19 happened and they kind of went into a shutdown, they put a moratorium on paying pretty much all contractors. So 30, 60, 90 days for as a travel agency, they are paying us our commissions 90 days late. And that's where I guess I misinterpreted to think that maybe that was part of this, was that they just went to a longer payment period on their contracts. I didn't hear this about, so they found other things wrong at Saratoga Springs?
That when they started doing the rehab, the contractor found what they refer to as serious violations of fire code.
Wow.
That was going to change the scope of the work that they had agreed to. And they're claiming that DVC pressured them to remain silent regarding those violations rather than taking the necessary steps to increase the project scope and timeline. So I don't know how much I believe that, to be honest with you. That I don't know.
I can't imagine them knowing something was out of fire code and saying, now we're not going to worry about that.
I don't see that. But I normally don't, but I got to be honest, DVC's been run kind of crappy lately. From what I'm seeing, from what I'm watching, and from what I'm hearing from members that have been members a lot longer than I have.
This goes though beyond running the company badly. This goes into criminal, you know, because if they ignore certain fire codes and stuff, you know, they could be sued for that. So, I mean, and the fact that there's a third party involved, you have to know that information is going to get out.
This information got out because of the lawsuit that was filed against them. But we had seen the mechanics liens, say about a month ago, the liens were filed against them. I remember seeing that going, wow, okay. A mechanics lien is filed when, you know, you have work done in your house and you don't pay the guy, they will issue a mechanics lien against your house. You can't sell that property without paying that lien back. So I just thought that was unusual. And again, as I'm reading through this, I probably should have picked something else to close the show out with.
But I just want to say real quickly, and I know this is probably boring to a lot of people, but if Disney has decided to pay late on their bills, and this is how this falls into this, it's very unusual because, like you said, this is from dues. So you and I don't get to pay our dues 90 days late. You know, we're not given a moratorium on our payments toward the dues. So Disney keeps reserves. So they should have enough in reserves to cover the fixes that need to be done. So it's all very, very, very fishy to me. I'm not really, it just seems so weird.
Well, that's what I felt about the mechanics liens, was that it can't be about them not having money, because that money has already been allocated. And while I think there may be some, you know, incompetence in management, I don't think it goes in a criminal. And if they're misallocating member dues, then yeah, that would be, yeah, you know, somebody's doing a perp walk. But I just found it interesting. That DVC's got a lot going on right now. DVC's got a lot going on. And I shouldn't, you know what? I should have done this as a DVC show. I should not have done it here. I apologize. Should have done something else. So, you know what? Let's go ahead. Make believe we didn't talk about this. Jackie, let's talk about the thing you wanted to talk about. We'll go a little long. It's fine.
Okay. So we have a really cool article on the site that was written by one of our contributors. Her name is Katrina Koffel. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Katrina. And it's called "I've Been to Walt Disney World 20 Plus Times and I've Never ... And so Katrina, in the article, she goes into things that she's never done, which, I mean, we've all been to Walt Disney World so many times. I'm sure we could think of at least 5 things that we haven't done that have maybe either happened. I mean, even I have something that I haven't done. So, which is shocking because I don't have a ton of those, but she's got things listed on here. Like, so the first thing that kind of cracked me up about this, she's never gone on Tower of Terror, which, you know, that happens. I had never gone on Tower of Terror I think I wrote it 2 years ago and I was forced on it. It wasn't at my own discretion that I was forced to ride that thing. And let's see, her second one is had a kitchen sink at Beaches and Cream, which is still available for people who have never had that. And Beaches and Cream is really great. Anyway, visiting Tom Sawyer Island is something that she had never done. So she said that she has spent the most amount of time in Magic Kingdom, but she never took the little pontoon ride over to Tom Sawyer Island. And let's see.
All right. So, Jackie, what are some things that you haven't done?
Like, I'd be interested in, like, the thing that, you know, somebody talks about something as being really great and really special. Is there anything like that you haven't done?
I haven't done something that I think would be the coolest is to go over to the campground and have an RV and stay there. So that's something that is high on my bucket list to do. And I just think that that's really special. I think it's really, really cool. And, you know, we used to go camping all the time back home, but it's too hot here to go camping. So we got rid of most of our camping stuff years ago. And I'm itching to go there and go camping. And I want to do a fishing excursion, which is also something I've never done. And my husband would live for it, but I would go too because I've gone fishing a time or two. So
I'm going to have a hard time. I really will have a hard time coming up with things at Disney World I haven't done, because everything you've mentioned I've done.
Well, think about what's going on.
The only thing
on
like
now.
I haven't done like Rock and Roller Coaster. Okay. I haven't done that.
Wow, that's surprising.
Well, I don't. No, there's nothing about it that appeals to me. I can't be turned upside down. I'm too old and too fat. I can't be turned upside down anymore. not without it like ruining my day. Even Tower.
Do you know
Tower.
How many things are under my list of I'm too old and too fat for? There's a long list of things.
No, you guys need to stop that right now.
I mean, let me throw it over to Craig, because I don't think Craig's spoken a word in this show.
I think I introduced myself. Well, you introduced me and I said hi. So
that was the worst part of the show.
Then you've contributed. You've contributed so much. I should not ask for more. What about you, Craig? What have you not done at Disney World that we would be surprised at?
I have not been arrested on Walt Disney World property before. So
that is surprising.
Yeah. Now
nice job.
Most of the stuff that I haven't done is, I think it's pretty much just restaurant related and not even interesting ones. I think probably the only shocker for restaurant related ones for me is that I haven't done Cinderella's Royal Table. So I've never even been up there. So I've never been in the restaurant in the castle at all in 33 years now. So I think that's probably the biggest shock one for me. And, you know, even after it reopens, I don't know if I'll ever go. I don't know. I might just want to leave it off my list just so I can always say there's one thing.
Well, you know, they post these on Facebook all the time, the never have I ever for Disney fans. I usually end up with a score of like one.
Yeah.
That's what we should do for the marathon show. We should do a drinking game. Never have I ever. Disney edition.
Oh, okay.
With water.
Well, for some people, water.
Yeah, for me, water. I've actually never done Tower of Terror either.
Are we doing the alcoholic edition of that, where we do that at 10 o'clock in the morning? Or are we doing the normal person edition, where we do it like 8 o'clock at night?
No, I said we should start the whole day plastered. I think that would be the best marathon show ever.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want that for me. I don't think you want that. But, no, this would be a good idea for the marathon show. Fiasco, what about you? What have you never done?
Yeah, so I've never done Tower of Terror.
Really?
Never done it. It was so I had a phase where I would ride absolutely anything, but for some reason Tower of Terror still kind of scared me, because there was an ad, I think it was in the 90s, where they showed Tower of Terror, like they were advertising Tower of Terror, and the people were actually standing up in the elevator, and I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. I don't understand how people do it. And then, you know, as time progressed, I learned, oh, no, you actually get to sit down, strap up. But by the time that realization happened, you know, like I get migraines and stuff like that, and I'm just too afraid to agitate myself. Everybody tells me I'll be fine and I'll love it, but I just never have done it. There's also a number of restaurants. Victoria and Albert's, never done Victoria and Albert's. Morimoto Asia, I've only done the Street Eats part of it. The San Angel Inn in Mexico Pavilion, the sit-down restaurant, I haven't done that, mostly because most people that I've talked to say it's bad, so I just, like, don't want to waste my money on it.
No, it's awful.
It. Yeah. Awful. And then there's a few resorts I haven't stayed at either. I've never stayed at Old Key West. I've never stayed at Grand Floridian. I've stayed at a lot of resorts, though, but not all of them, so.
All right, let's talk about resorts. Jackie, what are some of the resorts you haven't stayed at?
There's actually only two. I've never stayed at the Caribbean Beach Resort, and I've never stayed at Coronado Springs Resort. Although I've been to both of them, I've never stayed at either. But those are the only two.
So. Craig?
I think... technically, I didn't stay at Riviera when we were there back when it opened up. And Caribbean, that's the only other one. I haven't stayed there.
John?
So here's my caveat. I have been checked in to every resort.
Ooh.
However, there have been times like, you know, we're reviewing the All-Stars where I chose not to stay. But I have checked into every resort and stayed in most of them, both in World and in Land. So
yeah, which ones at World haven't you stayed in though?
Like I've never physically slept in an All-Stars resort room. I've never physically slept at Pop Century. But I've been there, and I've been there during the day, and I've been checked in for an overnight stay and participated and stuff, but I chose to drive myself home and stay in my big comfy bed.
I can honestly say the only thing I haven't done resort-wise at Walt Disney World was stay in a tent at Fort Wilderness. I think I made the promise that when we hit $1 million raised for Give Kids the World, that I do a drag show outside a tent in Fort Wilderness. But outside of that, I've actually stayed and slept in every resort at Walt Disney World, and obviously Disneyland. So
I forgot that I've never stayed in a tent at Walt Disney World at Fort Wilderness either.
No, I'm sure there are things. I'm sure there are things I haven't done that I'm just not remembering. But you know,
my big thing I haven't done, I actually talked about at during our live show last year during our event, was I had never been on Flight of Passage, even having the whole ride to ourselves that evening. And I never got on to Small World. It just I never had the opportunity because we were drinking and eating and, you know, enjoying our time with folks. So even though we had the whole place to ourselves, those were two things I never got a chance to do.
I got one that I think none of us have done, but maybe I'm wrong. Never have I ever done the Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Oh, I have.
Molly totally did that.
Well, things
six.
That we're allowed to do, okay, without getting arrested.
Exactly. Right. I've been in the ladies' room. So, how far are we going to take it?
I was very close. I was right in there. I got pixie dusted in there because I was the mom. So they gave me pixie dust.
And that's code for she did coke in there.
It felt like one. I was excited.
I got one that I have done, but I wonder if you guys have done. I have done The Void, but have you guys done The Void?
No.
That's fun.
No, I have not done The Void.
Right now, I don't think The Void's going to come back for a long time, given the current circumstances, but it's fun.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about, what's going on right now and how it relates to something that some of us, I mean, right. I know Fiasco that you've done this and I know Craig has, but the new interactions with the Disney characters at the Walt Disney World theme parks now are so cool.
Yeah.
They are so cool. And when we were in Magic Kingdom, the day that we had our annual pass preview, we did not happen to stumble on any of the cavalcades. So I have not seen any of those.
The things that really stuck out to me is when they put Pinocchio up and at the top of Pinocchio Village House, at the balcony, waving at people. I hope they do stuff like that forever.
Me too.
As a thing that they're doing right now to make consolidations for not having meet and greets. That's just cool in general.
It is. I loved that. I was so happy that you caught that because that's a really cool thing to see that. Back in the day, people may have seen something like that, but it's just not things that you see. I really, really hope that they keep that kind of stuff too, because I think it's really cool. I think it's fun to flip around and take a selfie with, with Winnie the Pooh catching nothing, like Craig says, trying to catch butterflies, but it's really cute.
All right. Well, folks, that is going to do it for our show for this week. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next Tuesday with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes and wear a damn mask.